Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
49 faces looked to him in triumph. Over the last 12 months, they had each taken turns and promoted his business for a week at a time, driving over $987,342 in revenue. What if you had a network of 50 centers of influence who promoted your business every week for a year? Grab your copy of the number one Amazon best-selling book, The Ultimate Guide to Growing Your Business with a Podcast, at 33% off the Amazon price by going to ultimatepodcastbook.com. Again, that website for 33% off the Amazon price is ultimatepodcastbook.com.
Welcome to the podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. Today, I have the good fortune to welcome back an old friend, Jody Grundin. If you might have heard him on the show like 8 or 9 years ago, you might have heard his show, which I'm sure we'll talk about. Jody, thanks so much for coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Seth, for having me back.
Let's go back in time a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you're up to now, because it's been a while.
Oh, geez, it's been a long time. Yeah, so basically I started a virtual CFO service practice a little over 20 years ago, back in 2002. And with that, it started out as a traditional accounting firm and then morphed into a virtual CFO practice a few years later. So we were trying something completely new at the time. They didn't hear anything about it. It was in accounting, it was just your typical tax and audit and that sort of thing. And we wanted to do something a little more meaningful for clients, something that we could really help them, especially clients that really can't afford a true CFO. And so we were looking for clients $1 million or above in that range that we could actually be alongside them, sit alongside meetings, help them make decisions all based on financial forecasting and KPIs and all that kind of stuff. And with that, we decided, hey, let's jump in and do it. And of course, with anything new, it was slow going at first. Nobody really knew what a virtual CFO even meant back then. Now you see it on all the different accounting websites and you hear a lot about it. And it still has a lot of different meanings to it right now. But with that, we picked up a pretty slow amount of clients. It was maybe 4 clients a year. And that's after we explained over and over again what we did and that we were truly real people and not virtual. All the different things and how we were going to actually work with them as a business owner, because we weren't in person. We did everything over video. And with that, again, it just took time. And it wasn't until, I would say, probably the internet really started picking up and video conferencing became something normal, did we actually start seeing a little higher growth. And then it wasn't until we actually focused in on service-based companies, digital agencies, that sort of thing, we saw the hockey stick growth happen. So much so that we were like, oh no, because we were located in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We grew our team at that time to about 18 people. We thought, oh man, probably 30 people's where we're going to cap out at. And we thought, what's the next phase in our growth? How can we handle all this incoming people? Where can we get the team to really embrace it? And so we decided to go completely virtual and remote. So back in 2013, a little over 10 years ago, we decided to throw away the office and live in the cloud. And we became one of the first financial firms ever to go remote. Forbes wrote an article about us back then on the top 20 or 120 firms in the world that are currently remote. It was funny because we were like Apple, Microsoft, Summit CPA. And it was like, it was just one of those ironic things. And so we created this virtual CFO service. We grew it to it as much as we could. We went remote and then we just saw it blow up to where we doubled our size every 3 years, grew it to a little over $10 million in revenue. And then just most recently, Seth, we merged in with an accounting firm, a larger accounting firm, one of the top 75 accounting firms in the nation, really large size. And now we are their virtual CFO service line. So we kept our company intact. And we have our marketing team, our HR team, everything is still intact. And we are operating as a CFO service line for the larger accounting firm called Anders out of St. Louis, Missouri. And so it's been pretty fun ride all along. Now our growth is to 10 or 5 exits. So we're looking to get to that $50 million mark. We're hoping to do it within 3 to 5 years and or maybe sooner. If AI can help out on that regard, that'd be awesome. But with that's where we're at. So it's been a fun ride and I'm happy to bring you and your audience in on the journey.
We greatly appreciate that. And obviously, the longer version of this story could probably be in your second book somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you went through some business events that you probably also help advise other business owners on. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So talk about the acquisition process as opposed to being the advisor. You were the acquiree. What does that feel like?
Yeah, it was a lot different. And it was different because we weren't looking to do it. And so it wasn't even on top of mind. We always thought, hey, if we grow the firm, when we grow the firm to $20 million, that's what we thought was going to be the sweet spot, that we'd have other companies looking at acquiring us. And so we thought we were 3 to 5 years away from that mark. And so we had no real thought behind it. You know, it wasn't one of those things that we were looking heavily to be acquired. We got acquired. It just happened. And what I mean by that, it just happened, but we did put ourselves out there. We put ourselves out there doing a bunch of conferences and speaking events, teaching CPA firms how to provide CFO services, because again, it was something that they're having a hard time scaling with too. We thought, you know, let's open our book up and just help them out. There's a big ocean, you know, blue ocean, a big ocean out there. And we felt that the more people that were doing what we were doing, charging what we were charging, all that kind of stuff, we would have everything would just rise up, all tides rise type of thing. And so that was the idea. And so while we were speaking engagements, we were getting calls by all kinds of firms, equity, you name it. And we kept turning them down because we had five requirements that we had to have on each one. Our team had to stay together. We had to function as a separate business unit. We had to continue to be a national firm, not a local firm. Our compensation package, we did things super different than other accounting firms, and they had to stay in the place. And then our directors all had a veto power. They could have said no. And so there's a lot of these things that we would go, a firm would reach out to us and they would ask us, hey, we're interested in merging. Or, hey, here's our five things. And they'd, no, can't do that. Oh, thanks. Appreciate the time. And we did that over and over. And so we thought we were really unacquirable, I guess is what you would call it. Because we just had all these different entrepreneurial type requirements that, you know, CPA firms really didn't want to take that risk. And it wasn't until we got reached out by Robert Minkler with Anders out of St. Louis that we exchanged things a little bit. We had our very first meeting, and of course, everybody's wearing suits and stuff. We're not. I've got a Hawaiian shirt on right now, and my business partner had a polo. It wasn't anything big. And we found out they're pretty cool. It was like Dave Hartley, which is now my advisory partner, super great guy. I thought, wow, this guy's pretty cool. I could actually relate to him. I can talk to him. And then that was one of the big things that got that pushed me away from public accounting. 20 plus years ago, I just didn't feel like it fit in. I was an odd duck. I was an entrepreneur working in an accounting firm. It was really holding me back. And it was just a different vibe. And when I talked to Dave, I thought, wow, this could be something different. I could actually work for this person, at least for, you know, a period of time. And I met Robert, same thing. Wow, these guys are great. And they were saying all the right things. They were saying all the right things. And of course, I brought my 5 points out, the 5 points I held dear to me. And with that, they're like, yeah, we could definitely do all five. And I was like, wait a minute here. You can do all five. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, you've got my ears. Let's listen. Let's talk. And then we negotiated a process that was a win for the firm and a win for us. I thought that was super important that we both walked away, not getting everything we wanted, but at the same point, coming away with a win situation. Because what I didn't want to happen is I didn't want to get on board and then just hate working there, leave, do something that would cause them to not want me, or the opposite. They could do something that would cause me on a shelter in place type of thing. And I didn't want that. And so I would say the biggest points I would take out of there is when we go through a merger or when we're coached through a merger, I think it's important to self-reflect and come up with your 4 to 5 points that you don't want to waver on. And do this when you don't need to do the merger. This is before you're thinking about it, a couple of years beforehand, you know, and help hold true to those 4 points, because that's when the emotion's not going to be there, is when you come up with those points. Hey, these are the 4 or 5 wavering points. Here's what I want to make sure. And then when you do get approached by opportunities, you've got your points there. You can always refer back to those points. And then during the negotiation, the emotional deal, you can continue to refer back to those points. I think that was key. That was at least key for us through it, because I don't think we would have gotten the opportunity that we did get had we not even considered those before the merger opportunity happened.
That makes a lot of sense. Going through the due diligence process where instead of helping someone else get everything ready, you're getting your own house in order. How has that changed how you advise clients at all?
No, because our house has always been on order, which is, it's just funny you mentioned that, because when we created our system or created the way we did things, we documented process. So everything is super repeatable on the process side. You know, I made myself irrelevant in a way that you can take me out of the equation. If I won the super $1 million, multi-million, $1 billion lottery, I could move out and Summit would have been fine. But yeah, they would have probably regressed a little bit, but it would have been fine. It would have been able to manage it because we had all the processes in place. They're all documented and our team was actually working through them. So that was one big thing. But the other thing was all of our financial KPIs were in a line. We had everything was there because we created our KPIs based on what we recommended our clients to create the KPIs for their business. Here's what you want to show the investors, all the KPIs. We had that information just like that, which was cool because we didn't have to do a lot of, due diligence. We didn't have to go back and figure out what we did way back 3 years ago or 5 years ago, whatever it is. We had everything right there where it was just a push of a button. We could give it to the prospective client and that our prospective buyer in that case. And that's what we did, which was really cool because it was just a tried true method that we'd been telling clients all along, building clients too. And now we're in that position. And just by the push of the button, we're able to do the same thing.
That makes a lot of sense. With the way you're working now under the larger umbrella, has who's an ideal client for you changed? Has your virtual CFO service changed? Any of that altered by the acquisition?
No, not really, which is nice. I'd say the biggest benefit that we did get was that where we didn't offer, we were limited to what we did offer. It was like, hey, if you didn't want virtual CFO services, we didn't have anything for you as a prospect coming in. Whereas now we can offer other things like wealth management. And it just is one example of it that we can offer that we couldn't offer before. We can help a client do evaluation where we couldn't do it before just because we didn't have the expertise, we didn't have the want and so forth to do it. It's because we were so narrowly focused. So it opened it up to a bigger toolbox that we can help clients with, which was really nice. The client size itself, no, that was part of the agreement. We're working with clients between $1 million to $2 million on the low end to 30 to 40 million on the high end. We've got clients as big as 70 or 80 million, but they didn't come to us at that size. They came to us at 5 to 10 million and we helped them grow to that 75, 30, 80 million, whatever that might be. And so that hasn't changed a lot at all. The one thing that we have changed, which was one of our strategic objectives is to do that 10 or 5X growth, was that instead of just simply focusing our efforts on creative agencies, digital agencies, SEO companies, PR companies, that sort of thing, we opened up our web a little bit and started really looking at different verticals, one being a law vertical. Which we're now, we've got a thought leader in the law area. Now we're really focusing on our marketing efforts on that. Cannabis was another one, transportation another, healthcare being another. So we thought, hey, if we can replicate our processes on how we built it to $10 million, whereas 60% of our clients were in the creative agency space, how can we do that in these other verticals? And that's what our challenge is now. That's what we're really focusing on now is really focusing on those verticals, replicating the process and seeing how we can really blow things up.
That is awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing now?
Oh, geez. I just enjoy coming to work every day. And that's hopefully that shows through. But I think the innovation is the key there is just not taking things as it is. Hey, how can we improve on things? I hate the word no or can't or anything like that. It's more like, okay, if you can't do it that way, let's figure out how we can do it. Maybe I didn't give you the right direction or the parameter or whatever. Let's change things and figure out how we can do something. And I see that a lot, even today, even with my own team, as well as the overall Anders team. Hey, we have to bill hourly or whatever. It's no, we don't. Let's figure out how we can do this so that it's subscription-based billing like we've done for 15, 20 years. That's the key there. How can we incorporate what we currently have into a subscription-based billing model where clients are getting hit where their bank accounts are getting hit every single Monday like we've been doing forever. And all these extra things aren't getting charged. We don't bill by the hour for all these extra things that are included in the service. Or how can we do all of that and maintain a culture? How can we bring two cultures together? One culture is a traditional accounting firm culture where you've got a pyramid type hierarchy. You've got like the accountant 3 years, becomes a senior accountant, then a manager, then a senior manager, then a partner. How can we change it? We had our flat model that worked really well. We just had CFO and a senior accountant, and that's really what we had. And then we had the doers at the bottom. How can we mold those together? It's that challenge. It's pretty exciting because it's not all rainbows that will emerge. We've got two different clashing, different clashing methodologies or thoughts. And we had to really figure out how can we take both of them and make something even better than what either one of us had. And that's the challenge right now. And so that's what makes me excited, what makes me want to come and put my time in, is because I just feel we can really make something bigger than what either one of us could by ourselves.
That makes a lot of sense. We know your time is incredibly valuable. We greatly appreciate you spending some of it with us. For our folks watching and listening who are maybe in the market for a virtual CFO, where should we send them to learn about all things Jody?
Oh, geez, you probably just Google my name and I'll pop up all over the place. But if you want to check out our website, it's Summit, SUMITCPA.net. We did .net because we couldn't afford .com back then. So we had to go differently. So SummitCPA.net, or feel free to hop on and do a search on LinkedIn for Jody Grunden. I'd be happy to give you a response if you do reach out. I do look at that pretty frequently. So those are probably the two main ways of reaching out and saying hi.
Awesome. This has been Seth Green with Jody Grunden. Jody, thanks so much for coming back.
Yeah, thanks, Seth, for having me.
Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. We'll talk to you or see you next time.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.